Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Europe Votes, focusing on the EU election campaign. Now, in this programme, we've looked at groups of countries and regions, and we've also zoomed in on some of the EU's political heavyweights, such as Germany, Italy, Poland or Romania. Now, Spain has the EU's fourth largest population, around 48 million people. With a median income of €1,400 per month, though, Spaniards are certainly not rich, although the quality of life is often something that is touted in Spain. Voters will send 61 Spanish MEPs to the European Parliament on June the 9th. And the country is currently led by a coalition of the socialists, led by Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, and SUMAR, a platform of left-wing, far-left and Green parties. To delve into the election issues in Spain, I'm joined by two politicians from opposite sides of the spectrum. Lina Gálvez Muñoz is from the Socialist Party in Spain and is a member of the Socialists and Democrats here. Welcome to you.
Hello.
Also, we're pleased to welcome back to the show Antonio López Isturiz White, who is from the Conservatives or Partido Popular in Spain and is a member of the European People's Party here in the European Parliament. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
So we saw a Eurobarometer survey of the big concerns that Spanish voters have. Number one is the cost of living, two, the health system and healthcare, and three, migration. I'm just interested in, first of all, but perhaps both of your party's offers on that cost of living issue as inflation still continues to bite. Perhaps you first.
Thank you. Well, for the Socialist Party, all the social issues are at the forefront. It's our DNA. So it is clear, and it is for us important that the green transition, the digital transition, the reindustrialization of Europe, whatever it is with a social face. We have pushed very much here in Europe to the European for the European pillar of social rights. Mm. So we want this pillar to fully develop. Because it's what our citizens are waiting, not only in Spain, but in whole Europe.
Antonio, so we've seen this decoupling of gas from the price of electricity in Spain, which did bring prices down for a while, but people are still very concerned about the cost of living, aren't they?
I was surprised with this poll about the healthcare system, which, by the way, I think that in Spain, nothing is perfect. But I don't think that would be a course of discussion, of debate, over the cost of housing or the simple cost of heating our houses due to the the policies of energy. Spain is right now has aumented for like 35% the buying Russian gas, for example. I think that we have to diversify. We have a good culture and policies about renewables. We are using a lot, both Socialist Party and us, Partido Popular, in different governments. We have gone through that, but this is something that we have to take care of. And security, immigration. I think it was in your list third.
Yes, that's right.
I see that, we should... I think that Lina and I, we will speak during the campaign about the recent agreement that we had on immigration here in the European Parliament. That I think that Spanish citizens should know about it.
Yeah. On migration, of course, this is one of the key issues feeding into support for the Vox Party, which is the ultranationalist right in Spain. And I want us to take a quick listen now to Vox's Herman Terch.
So we want to amend many, many things and to abolish things, to abolish the Green Pact and to abolish so many things that are harming the population in whole Europe. In all the European nations, we have victims of this overdose of ideology that we have in this house.
So an overdose of ideology, including on things like the green transition. Are you worried about the possible result for Vox in the European election in Spain? Because they could get more seats, more of a score than in 2019.
Well, I hope not. because they are really anti-European, they are really intoxicating the public debate with a lot of fake news and a lot of disinformation, just identifying migration with crime as they normally do, just deny the climate change or even say that we are putting some chips on our minds through the digital or the digitalization of our economies. So I really think, I hope the Spanish population, I hope we really take all this information out of the debate, that we really debate about Europe and about the future of Europe and how Spanish will fit on it. But I hope we will not run our campaigns just on discussing on this information. Yeah.
Antonio, though, on we've seen with these elections in the Basque Country a historic result for Bildu, the party which is partly descended from the political wing of ETA. We're seeing Catalan nationalist parties doing well in the opinion polls for the May 12th election in Catalonia. Vox is going to surf on all of those things in this election,
This is part of the radicalization of the left that is represented in many of these parties, no? That's going on the left of Lina and in my right. Listen, I don't want to comment, you know, people that are not here in the studio.
Sure,
It's not something that I like to comment, no? But, you know, I mean, that is the work that we will have to do is to stop, you know, to try to stop these extremes that have, not only in Spain, in the whole world, have appeared, and to avoid this polarization, no? That is created by these forces that, by the way, they represent some kind of a state of mood of the population, and that is what we have to analyze in the elections.
Is the Spanish government encouraging extremism, so to speak, by entertaining this amnesty law
in coalition with Sumar? Yes. It's extreme left party, which is in coalition with the government in Spain, as well as there is the extreme right party Vox. Yes. There is no difference. I don't like extremes. I don't like it. I like moderate populist parties that we offer solutions, and that's something that we have to do.
Can I get you on this question of the amnesty law, though, Lina, because it is playing out in the election campaign as well. Do you think it's something that will cause major problems for the Spanish government, given that the Catalan separatists, they want to actually go further? They're saying an independence referendum is inevitable. They're not going to stop at the amnesty, even if they get an amnesty.
Well, what we have to transmit in a very, very clear way is that the situation in Catalonia today, 2024, is much better than in 2017, when the referendum and everything happened. And I think the socialist government has managed really to improve the coexistence of people in Catalonia and in Catalonia and the rest of Spain. And this is the most important thing.
If things are better, why is the regional president, Mr. Aragonés, saying it's inevitable that there'll be an independence referendum?
It's their way of doing things, but they will not even win the elections in Catalonia with the Socialist Party that we win the elections that show you how the independentist mood has really decreased in Catalonia and people live much better now.
The Venice Commission of the Council of Europe is looking into whether the Spanish government is respecting the separation of powers. That's a kind of discussion we would have in the context of Poland or Hungary, not Spain, usually.
Sign of the times that Spain is now being, you know, treated by this commission, Venice Commission, sign of what's going on. But I have my trust more than the Venice Commission. I have my confidence in the results of the judges' decisions in Strasbourg, the European Court, that will decide about this.
Antonio, you mentioned the Asylum and Migration Pact, key issue in the European election. How do you think that's going to play out in Spain now?
I think that the Spanish society has demonstrated that it's one of the most welcoming societies in Europe. We have had no real problems, you know, with the adaptation, you know, with adaptation of 1 million Romanians, 2 or 3 million, you know, coming from Latin America. We have not had major problems. But, claro, we have to find the space. How much can we adapt? And good that finally we have had an agreement on immigration policy here in the European Parliament and the European institutions that will come into effect after the European elections. And that will also solve many of the problems created by sometimes the lack of vision and policy on how to adapt the very necessary immigration into our daily realities. Mm.
Your thoughts on the Asylum and Migration Pact, and will it limit perhaps the more, let's say, far-right forces in Spain or not?
As I agree with Antonio that really the Spanish people are very welcoming, and for us it was very important that the migration was a common problem for Europe and not only for the sort of the border countries. I'm coming from the south of Spain, from Andalusia, so I could see all these people coming to our frontiers and what's happening. So for us, it was very important that it was a common problem of whole Europe, and I think we have achieved that with the immigration pact. There are other things that probably are not the best result, but for us, I think it was a good result to have it as a European problem.
Okay, we'll stop there. We've run out of time, but thank you so much to both of my guests, Lina Gálvez Muñoz from the Socialists and Democrats, Antonio López Isturiz White from the European People's Party. Thank you so much for watching.
Thank you.
Thank you.